We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, verse number 1. This chapter is the last chapter that Srila Prabhupada translated and commented, entitled Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves. Very nice pastime of the Lord. And we're hearing first from Shukadev Goswami. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Translation, Srila Shukadev Goswami said, Oh, best of devotees, most fortunate Parikshit, you have inquired very nicely. For although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, you are perceiving His activities to be newer and newer. Purport, unless one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, one cannot stick to hearing the pastimes of the Lord constantly. Nityam navanavayamanam, even though advanced devotees hear continually about the Lord for years, they still feel that these topics are coming to them as newer and fresher. Therefore, such devotees cannot give up hearing of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santasadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. The word santa is used to refer to persons who have developed love for Krishna. Yang shyama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Parikshit Maharaj, therefore, is addressed as Bhagavatottama, the best of devotees, because unless one is very much elevated in devotional service, one cannot feel ecstasy from hearing more and more and appreciate the topics as ever fresher and newer. Shri Shuka Uvacha, so ends Prabhupada's purport. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Sadhu Prishtang, Mahabhaga, Tvaya Bhagavatottama, Yan Nutanayasi Shasya, Shinvanna Pikatang Muhu. Srila Shukadev Goswami said, O best of devotees, most fortunate Parikshit, you have inquired very nicely, for although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, you are perceiving His activities to be newer and newer. In the beginnings of chapters of the Bhagavatam and at the end of previous chapters, we often get a kind of transition. We're moving now from the previous pastime, the previous lila. Krishna has, in a very wonderful way, killed the demon Agasura. He is now going to do more wonderful things. And as we shift into hearing about this ever-fresh pastime of Lord Krishna, there is this transition, and in this transition, in the last verse of the previous chapter, we're kind of brought out for a moment, hearing from Suta Goswami about Shukadev Goswami. And in this way, we get an opportunity to be reminded of how great Shukadev Goswami is, that it is a really special thing that Shukadev Goswami is speaking the Bhagavatam. And now, in this verse, we're hearing what a special thing it is that Maharaj Parikshit is hearing from Shukadev Goswami. In fact, it's interesting that the way Sutta refers to, actually not to Shukadev Goswami, he's addressing the devotee who is representing the devotees of Naimisharanya, namely Shonaka. He's referring to him as Bhagavatottamottama. Bhagavatottamottama. Uttama Uttama. Bhagavata Uttama Uttama. Bhagavatottamottama. He's the super duper devotee. And then in today's verse, Maharaj Parikshit is referred to as Bhagavatottama. In any case, Uttama means highest, means very exalted. Shuka is praising Maharaj Parikshit in so many ways. First, with the very first word of the verse, namely sadhu. He's addressing him. This is the vocative form, as it's called in English. When you address someone, you call out someone by name, or you address someone directly, that particular Sanskrit form is used here. O sadhu. What means sadhu? Sadhu. The word sadhu can also mean good, and therefore Prabhupada translates, sadhu prishtam. He brings them together. Prishtam means asked. O sadhu, you have asked. And Prabhupada translates, I have been very much honored by your inquiry. Prabhupada translates in a very elegant way. And then he addresses him again, Mahabhaga, O most fortunate person. Why is Maharaj Parikshit fortunate? It seems that he has become most unfortunate because he's been cursed suddenly to die within 7 days. By now, we're in the toward the beginning, near the beginning of the 10th canto, so by this time, we can imagine, the countdown is on. Maharaj Parikshit will probably die within about 2 or 3 days. But he's calling him most fortunate. Probably if you and I were in a similar situation, knowing we're going to die in 2 or 3 days, we would not feel most fortunate. But Shuka recognizes that indeed he is most fortunate. And he's most fortunate because, for one thing, he's hearing from Shuka, from Shukadev Goswami. And for another reason, because he's hearing from Shukadev Goswami, he's becoming fully prepared for that moment when he will leave the world. In fact, it's going to be described in the 12th canto that he's going to leave before his body is finished. He's going to be already gone when Takshaka comes in order to, bite him, as is predicted. Maharaj Parikshit's already going to be gone. So, Mahabhaga. And Tvaya, Prishtam Tvaya, asked by you, Bhagavata Uttama, O you who are best of devotees. So he's recognizing him as best of bhaktas. And then he's going on to express why he appreciates him now. We may remember back in the very beginning of Canto 2, Shukadev also appreciates Maharaj Parikshit's question at that time. And what is the question at that time? The question at that time is, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? He says, this is a wonderful question. It's wonderful because it benefits everyone. So he's sort of bringing a wide-angle lens to show that this is a great devotee because he's asking questions that are important for everyone. And so Shuka is inspired by that. Now he's inspired for another reason. Maybe it's part of the same reason. Yet, because Nutanayasi Ishasya, because you literally cause to be new. It's a causative form of the verb. You cause to be new, what? Ishasya, of the Lord, the katam, the literally stories, the pastimes of the Lord. You cause them to be new, hearing them, shrinvan, even though hearing them, shrinvanapi, even though we're hearing them, you cause them to be new. How does that work? It's an interesting phenomenon that devotees like to hear about the Lord, even we have already heard. We already know the story, right? We already know Brahma steals the boys and calves. We know he takes them and puts them in a cave. We know that Krishna decides, oh, well, this looks like some fun. Let's have some fun. Actually, the Bhagavatam is full of fun, full of humor, especially in Krishna's childhood pastimes. In the previous chapter, he had some fun with the cowherd boys. They saw this huge, you know, whatever it was. They couldn't really understand what it was, but it looked like a big cave. Maybe it's a big snake, whatever it is. Let's go exploring. What fun. And if there's some danger, Krishna will save us. So, indeed, that's what happens. Everyone has a good time. Now there's going to be more fun. It's going to be an expansion. An expansion. Krishna is going to expand himself. He's going to duplicate all of these boys, all of these calves. Which, by the way, for me is an intriguing question, and maybe our senior devotees will have an explanation of this. I don't know if there's an explanation by acharyas, but I find it quite wonderful that Krishna expands himself to appear exactly like each of the cowherd boys, exactly like each of the calves. So in my limited understanding, if someone would look exactly like someone else, then the feeling you would have for that person that you now see, not just looking but behaving exactly like the person, then your own behavior would be the same. But we see that's not the case. What happens? The parents of the cowherd boys who are experiencing not their sons, but rather Krishna, who looks and behaves exactly as them, suddenly they're becoming incredibly much more attracted to their sons. And similarly, the cows become immeasurably more attracted to their calves, although they're exactly the same. How is this? It is wonderful. Anyway, we may discuss that later. So, we all know the story, and yet we like to hear again and again. And why is that? Why is it so different from, for example, hearing the news, BBC News? We might be very excited to hear the BBC News, especially we want to know what was the result of the election, right? But then what happens to that news that was news yesterday What is that? It's no longer news. We call it old news, which is a kind of contradiction in terms. Old news, it's old olds. It's not interesting anymore. The newspaper becomes an old paper. And as the saying goes, yesterday's newspaper becomes today's fish wrap. Is there a Bengali saying like that? So why is it that there is this difference? Well, one way of understanding, aside from the fact that Krishna is all attractive, aside from that, what do you mean, aside from that? Well, yes, aside from that, there's a whole different dimension to Krishna's pastimes than to the activities of this world. The whole different dimension, of course, is, well, one way of putting it is in terms of time. The time factor of ordinary activities is that which is binding, which is limiting, which is reducing everything to something unimportant. Whereas the time element in Krishna's pastimes, and we may speak of time in the sense of a motion from past to present to future, it is different because the limitations of time are not there. Speaking of the limitations of time, lately I like to tell this story from the Brahmavivarta Purana, maybe you know it, about Indra. After he kills Vritra, he celebrates by rebuilding his palace. His palace had been crumbling because there was no possibility to maintain it, because the problem with Vritra, according to Rig Veda, is that there was no water. Vritra was retaining all of the waters of the universe. In fact, strangely enough, he looked like a giant cloud, a giant dark cloud. And so when Indra kills him with his thunderbolt, he releases the waters, and once again the world can thrive. And Indra is very happy that he can now rebuild his palace. And so he drafts into service Vishvakarman, the architect, architect of the heavenly realms. And so he tells Vishvakarman what he wants. I want here this wonderful palace, and over here a complimentary palace for my guests, and over here I want a great garden, and so on. And he begins to build all of this, but each time Indra comes to inspect, he has some new ideas, and he wants to expand his grounds and his palace, and he wants to have pleasure gardens, and he wants to have pukurs, and it just goes on and on and on. And Vishvakarman is realizing his desires one after another. But after some time, Vishvakarman becomes a bit tired of all of this, and he thinks, this can't go on like this. And so he goes to Lord Brahma and complains.
Lord Brahma, this Indra, he's making me just go on and on with this building and building and building. I don't know when it's going to end.
And Lord Brahma says, don't worry, we'll work out something. So then he goes back, and then Lord Brahma goes to Lord Vishnu, and he explains the problem to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu doesn't say anything. He just nods. He gives an expression like, we'll take care of it. Back in Indra's palace, a young boy comes to the door, a 10-year-old boy, very charming. He's a Brahmin boy. And he comes, and Lord Indra receives him very warmly, brings him into his court. He sits him down. He offers him all comforts, and he asks him, How is it, why is it that you have come to visit? And the young boy says, I have come because I have heard about your construction project. I just wanted to see what you are doing. I wanted to see your palace. And Indra is saying, yes, it's a wonderful, isn't it wonderful? Just see all these amazing structures we're making. And the young boy is sort of grinning with a strange sort of grin. And Indra is beginning to wonder, what's the problem? And the young boy begins to muse. He begins to reflect. He says, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful, this universe. How many manus do we have in one day of Brahma? 40? 14. Okay, 14 manus. And how many Indras are there in one day of Brahma? So many. So many thousands, hundreds. I don't know. Do you remember? Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, you remember these things. Huh? Every manvantar? One Indra for one manvantar. Okay. But then so many days for Lord Brahma, and then how many Brahmas there? So he's musing like this, and while he's musing, there's marching across the room of the court of Indra are so many ants. And it's like a colonnade of ants, like 4 meters wide, thousands of ants. And Indra looks, whoa, what is this? And the boy looks, and the boy looks, and he sees, and he smiles, and then he laughs. And then Indra says, what are you laughing about? And the boy says, oh, I can't tell you that. That's a secret. And Indra pleads with him, please tell me, what is this secret? Oh, this is a very great secret. If you would know what is this secret, then everything in your life would change. Please tell me, what is the secret? Oh, I can't tell you the secret, I'm sorry. And he laughs. And, oh, please, and he gets down on his knees. Up till now, Indra's been, you know, quite proud. Now he's getting down on his knees. And he said, you know, you must tell, all right, I'll tell you the secret. And at that moment appeared Shishi Radha Gokulananda and Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Do you want to know the secret? The secret is, the boy said, actually, every one of these ants which are now crawling across, at one time, they were Indras. Previously, they were Indras, but now, due to their karma, due to their activities, somehow, now they are ant. And he smiled. And at that moment, another guest came into the court, and this was... He was a sadhu, an ascetic. He had long, we say, dreadlocks, and he had a bare chest. But he was he had a very hairy chest, actually. But in the center of his chest, it was completely, there was no hair. There was a round circle with no hair. He came in, he just sat down. And Indra was looking at him, and then he spoke to him, sir, welcome. Who might you be? And this gentleman began to speak. And Indra asked him, how is it that you have this space in the middle of your chest where there's no hair? And he says, well, every time that an Indra dies and a new one comes, I lose one hair from the center of my chest. So he makes the same point. So many Indras are coming and going. At this point, of course, Indra gets the point. And he lets Vishvakarman go. Okay, you've built enough. Thank you very much. The point of which is, of course, he comes to learn how everything is bound by time. He himself is bound by time. And because he gets this perspective, he understands now more clearly what is his duty. And we understand how, from hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we are taken beyond time. Therefore, it's said also that the sages of Naimisharanya, as they are hearing from Sutta Goswami, are not affected by time. They're not affected by Yamaraj. Yamaraj cannot get to them. There is no danger. And in this particular chapter in which we hear about the Lord expanding himself, this wonderful ever new pastime of the Lord expanding himself, we may also be surprised to hear that there is an interesting echo between this pastime and something which is described in the Rig Veda. I mentioned Indra and Ritra. There's another activity which is referred to occasionally in the Rig Veda, never giving very much detail, but it's telling about a certain group of, we might call them demons, who are known as the Panis. And that these Panis sometime steal Indra's cows, and they take them and put them into a cave, and they close the cave. They hide them in this cave. And so Indra, with the help this time of Brihaspati, goes. Actually, Brihaspati is the main actor here, but he's associated with Indra. Sometimes it's sort of one and the same. Brihaspati is an aspect of Indra in the Rig Veda. Brihaspati, not with thunderbolt defeating Vritra, but rather with mantra, he smashes open the cave, or sometimes it's said a stone in which the cows are hidden is smashed, and thus the cows are released. So we have, all the way back in the Rig Veda, we have some story of stealing of cows and being put into a cave. So we have also here, in this case, Lord Brahma is stealing cows. Lord Brahma is becoming a thief. And he is stealing what is very dear to Krishna. Usually, if you take something from the Lord without the Lord authorizing, that could be a source of great trouble. In the case of Lord Brahma, there is some trouble in the sense that Lord Brahma has to humble himself, but he humbles himself in a very wonderful way, and that will be the next chapter describing the prayers of Lord Brahma. But what is going to be the response of Lord Krishna to Lord Brahma's prayers? Practically no response. He's just going to be silent. And that's going to make Lord Brahma feel very, I did something wrong. So he's going to be remorseful, and that is, of course, as it should be. But we could say that also Lord Brahma is making an experiment. We hear about so much nowadays about science. And what is science about? Science is about experiments. So Lord Brahma is the primordial scientist. He's known as Adi Kavi, which can mean primordial poet or primordial philosopher, poet-philosopher. So we can always point to Lord Brahma as the primordial scientist, but his science is to try to understand the Lord. That is his qualification. Similarly, Maharaj Parikshit's qualification, he wants to hear about the Lord, and thus he puts himself into eternity. He removes himself from the temporary realm, from the limits of the temporary realm, and he launches himself, so to say, into the spiritual, we say spiritual, the atemporal realm. Another person who does this is Shivas Thakur, Shivas Pandit, whose Tirobhava Titi we observe today. Shivas Thakur was considerably older, speaking temporally now, than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was more a contemporary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father and mother. And indeed, they were good friends. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Nimai Pandit, becomes more and more known as a pundit, Shivas Thakur becomes very concerned that he is not showing he's not exhibiting any devotional sense. But all the devotees were anticipating, they were wanting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to unfold his pastime as the Lord, as the devotee. And so one time Shivas Thakur goes to, he calls Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, and he gently scolds him. Says, you know, this is not, you know, having this mundane learning by itself, unless it brings about bhakti, devotion to the Lord, is actually a waste of time. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sort of nods. He doesn't say any. He also doesn't say anything. But then soon after this, what does he do? He goes to Gaya. And we all know what happens in Gaya. In Gaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets his guru, Ishvarapuri, and then everything changes. And when he comes back, to Navadvip, he's like a changed person. The devotees can't recognize him. But now Shivas Thakur welcomes the Lord into his home. And it's at Shivas Thakur's home that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins his Sankirtan movement in Shivas Angan. It is there where he, together with Nityananda Prabhu, are chanting and dancing and chanting and dancing and chanting and dancing as if there's no such thing as time. It's also mentioned that they are bathing in the Ganga three times a day. And otherwise they are chanting and dancing. And you may say, but we're not like that. We have to go to work. We have jobs. How can we relate to this kind of life? Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they would chant and dance all night. Until one day, not until, but one day, it seems that Shivas Thakur had a small child, and this small child was ill, and this small child became so ill that he died. And this happened while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and Shivas Thakur and all the devotees are having kirtan. This is all happening in the back of the house. The women of the household are all wailing. Naturally, they feel very sad. And Shivas Thakur feels, he hears, and he goes back. What happened? Your son has died. Oh, how fortunate! How fortunate he is! He has died. He has left this world in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu while the chanting of the holy name has been going on. How wonderful! We should all be joyful. All right. And so Shivas Thakur said, anyway, we'll deal with this later. Back to the kirtan. And he went back into the kirtan. And the kirtan went on and on and on until the morning. And that in the morning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this time it wasn't the same. I don't know what was going on. Something, is there a problem in your house? Did you have an argument with your wife? No, he didn't say that. He's, you know, is there something happening? Well, Shiva said, actually something did happen. But it's nothing important. No, what happened? What happened? Well, my son died. What? Your son died? Well, yes, but, you know, he's so fortunate. Now show him to me. He takes him back and the body is there. And what happens? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simply touches him and he comes back to life. That's pretty cool. And the boy says, he preaches. He says, my parents, maybe for this life, but otherwise, I've had so many parents. Parents come, parents go. Lives come, lives go. What's the difference? So like this. And then everyone hears, and then everyone is pacified, and Shivas Thakur is especially pleased. Shivas Thakur is, of course, a member of the Panchatattva, and he is identified in the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika as none other than Narada Muni. So it is Narada who is associating, who is one of the eternal associates of the Lord. And Narada, we say, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita, Gadadhara, Shivas, Adi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. So Shivas Thakur, beginning with Shivas Thakur, Gaura Bhaktivinoda, we praise, we sing the glories of all the devotees. So this is inclusive, it's not exclusive. All the devotees of the Lord. So again, like Shukadeva Goswami is glorifying the devotee in this verse, in preparation for himself to glorify the Lord. And his first word is sadhu. You are a sadhu. This is what we are all aspiring to be sadhus. Sadhus and sadvis. If we can more and more follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Parikshit in his eagerness to hear transcendental topics, then we can also experience how those topics are ever fresh. Yat avadi mama cetta krishna padaravinde. No. Yat avadi mama cetta krishna padaravinde. Nava navarasa damadudyata rantumasit tat avadi batanari Sangame smaryamane bhavati dukkha vikara sushtu nishti vanancha. King Kulashekar makes this contrast. He says, whenever I hear about the pastimes of the Lord, mama cheta, my consciousness is absorbed in the Lord's pastimes, which are nava-nava-rasa. Then at that time, tat-avadi bhatanari, then if I think of my past life, because King Kulashekhar was a king, and kings are dealing with mundane matters, including mundane association, including association with women. He says, when I think of that, I just spit at the thought. I'm so disgusted. It's such a contrast between the ever-fresh pastimes of the Lord and the mundane so-called pastimes of this life. Srila Shukadev Goswami ki jai, Maharaj Parikshit ki jai, Shivas Thakura ki jai, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Questions or comments? Discussion.